If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake.
Adam Lapp!
And hello once again out there in virtual radio land. I have about 45 minutes of entertainment, education, and of course, lots of obligatory laughter. In fact, that's certainly the most important part. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WGH Talk Radio, home, of course, of Mr. Scott Spears, interviewer to the stars and inductor of good friend of the station, even a friend of mine, Mr. Claude, a.k.a. Thunderbolt Patterson. And that's coming up in the great brotherly love city of Philadelphia. Gosh, that's the same city where Scott's two-time guest, Mr. Bill Cosby, has hung his hat. So maybe when Scott goes to Philadelphia, he will be interacting with Mr. Cosby in person. You never know with Scott. I've challenged him to interview everybody from the U.S. president to dignitaries from other countries to famous celebrities, and he certainly has come through, oftentimes surprising even himself. Speaking of Scott's guests, still on loan from the great state of Idaho is Mr. Calvin Williams. He may be kind of like on a permanent loan. Maybe he's going to be switching the announcer, which he is a sort of like guest or co-host of, or maybe he'll just be on all the programs. In fact, this station is so good, I think we should just do that. Have him on every single program and make sure that his dulcet tones are invading the virtual airwaves 25 hours a day. Of course, that would be Mr. Calvin Williams from Lewiston in western Idaho, although he's a native of the Columbus area. Before I ramble anymore, because I'm sure I've already bored you folks into submission, and that isn't necessarily a bad thing, let me make sure that my intern has properly plugged A into B, duct taped the cords to the floor so my clumsy self doesn't trip over them. And let's make a call out to the Western Rocky Mountains, Mr. Calvin Williams. And how are you? Well, actually, before I even do that, let me do what I did the first time that we were on the air. I kind of did my Chipmunks imitation. So let's see here. Let me try to yell over the Rocky Mountains. And maybe I should do that, too, before the eclipse blocks my view. So let's see. Calvin! You there, Calvin?
Yeah. Yep, I'm here.
Are you an Alvin and the Chipmunks fan? Do you know even what I was referring to?
Yeah, I grew up with the movies.
Do you think that I do that Alvin, shouting Alvin and almost break the equipment? Do I do that fairly well, or is it kind of overdone at this point?
I mean, considering this is only the second time, I say it's not overdone.
Okay, that's good. Well, don't like overdone radio bits, don't like my steak overdone, but I think it will be 42 minutes before this program is done, and that's when it will be over, so to speak. And in the meantime, listeners, you're going to get quite a treat for the eardrums, for the brain cells, and most importantly, for the funny bone, because gotta leave them laughing. So anyway, Calvin, as I was mentioning, you started out by being, as you still are, a regular caller to the Scott Spears Morning Interviewing to the Stars and anybody else who's important or not important radio program, and then you and I kind of started talking. Remind us again about your background and just quickly how you ended up migrating from the capital city of the Buckeye State, the second largest city in the Midwest, to Lewiston, Idaho, which is about the same size as Marion, although the surroundings certainly are different. Marion is the doesn't quite have the rugged terrain that Idaho does, and Marion also is near several larger cities. Just tell us how you migrated, and give us a few quick thoughts about some of the cultural differences between Central and Mid-Ohio and Western Idaho.
So I will say, the way I ended up out here, my dad got a job out here that required him to transfer to Lewiston, and at the time, I had just totaled my first car and spent most of my savings at the time plus the insurance check on the car that I have now, so I was in no financial shape to stay in Ohio and start out on my own. Now, cultural differences and terrain differences, I mean, the road that I take to and from work every day is one of the few in the U.S. where there's no fine for using a runaway truck ramp. I'm looking out my window right now, and I can see mountains. There's far less population out here. It's far less crowded, which is nice. I mean, everybody kind of keeps to themselves, but at the same time, being such a small population, everybody knows each other as well. And interesting things I've picked up on culturally in Idaho. There's a lot of old military terminology that gets used out here. So, especially at work, and I've held two different jobs since moving out here, everybody calls a lunchbox a lunch pail. Everybody calls the bathroom the head. And it doesn't matter if you drive a truck or a little compact Prius, every vehicle is a rig.
So definitely some differences in the dialect, the colloquialisms, and just the daily way of life. Have you met anybody else, Calvin,
yeah,
even from Indianapolis or Chicago or Pittsburgh or somewhere in this part of the country, at work or among your neighbors? Or are you pretty much the only transplanted Buckeye there in Lewiston, as far as you know? I never asked you that before, but that is kind of fascinating.
I'm actually not the only one out here. So my first job after moving out here was at the Chevy dealership. We had a new guy that started shortly after I did, and I noticed his truck had Ohio plates on it, and it had Pickaway County tags, which isn't too far from where I used to live in Franklin County. So him and I had gotten to talking, and it turns out at one point in time, we had gone to school together, and looking him up on Facebook, we actually had quite a few mutual friends between us, and he ended up out here in a pretty similar fashion to how I did.
That's a small world, isn't it? I mean, Pickaway County, because you used to live near Grove City, right? That isn't far at all. It's south. So quite a small world.
About 30 minutes away from me.
Do you think anyone else who might be considering moving from the Midwest to Lewiston or somewhere else in the Western Rockies, might it be a good idea? I mean, certainly there will be a culture shock. Even moving next state over, there's some culture shock, but it obviously is larger there. Do you think it might be an interesting place for people to consider if they are relocating? Sometimes you just end up with, as you know, jobs and other life situations almost by accident, and you end up liking it and feeling that it was a good transition.
I would say, personally, before considering moving to the Pacific Northwest, come out here on vacation first and see if it's for you. Because as I've mentioned in the past, the cost of living out here versus Ohio is astronomical, and Lewiston is also the highest taxed city in the state of Idaho.
So maybe surprisingly, because again, Lewiston and Marion, in terms of population, they're both in the mid to upper 30s, but the surroundings certainly are different.
Yeah.
But Marion has quite a bit to offer for a low cost of living. And again, it's near Columbus, Toledo, and other larger cities, and lots of historic and fun attractions for people of all ages. But definitely a different scene there. But again, where you live, you make the best of it. You enjoy all the great things. Can't beat the scenery out there. And not far from Canada. You mentioned you're not a skier, but for those who do ski, it certainly is an area where hitting the slopes would be something that you could do and enjoy quite a bit, considering it is near the Rocky Mountains and all those great attractions. And as we also discussed, although Idaho is known for potatoes and it's on the license plate, Idaho does have great potatoes, but much more than just that particular crop. Honestly, I'm not sure I'd ever even been to Idaho. I know we took a vacation to the Pacific Northwest. We've been to Seattle when I was a kid many, many years ago, way before you were born. So we probably drove through Idaho, but I certainly wouldn't consider myself anything more than someone who has a knowledge based upon what he might have read or talking to folks like yourself to know exactly what it is like out there. But it certainly does sound beautiful, sounds eclectic, and I'm glad you're enjoying your time out there in Idaho, and I've gotten to experience the diversity in this great country that we call home, the United States of America. Adam here on The Talking Place with Mr. Calvin Williams, again on loan from the interviewer to the stars, Scott Spears. And last but not least, Calvin, before we discuss our topics today, and I want to let listeners know, we're going to discuss some controversial topics, which might cause you either to say these guys are really on top of things, or these guys are completely nuts, or maybe a combination of the above, but that's all part of the fun. We mentioned, as you know, Scott going to Philadelphia to induct good friend of the station, Claude, a.k.a. Thunderbolt Patterson, who's now in his early 80s, into the Wrestling Hall of Fame. And Philadelphia also is known for Bill Cosby, who's been on the air with Scott twice. Do you think Scott, Calvin, do you think Scott has a secret meeting scheduled with Bill Cosby, and that will be part of his, one of the highlights of his trip there to Philadelphia? Because, you know, Scott's always full of surprises, so I certainly wouldn't put it past him. Does that cross your mind at all?
Honestly, no. I haven't really thought too much on it.
Do you think it's a possibility? Do you think maybe Scott is holding that great celebrity encounter from us?
I could see him springing that on us.
Oh, I wouldn't surprise me one bit. I guess we'll find out, but certainly, nope. Folks, that will be on the Peacock Network and, of course, broadcasting on this station. Don't want to miss it. We do all kinds of fun things on this station. So anyway, Calvin, let's go ahead and start our topics, as we have certainly given people something to be anticipatory about. Forgot to talk about this on our last program, but you were kind enough to produce on your 3D printer lithophanes, one for Scott, one for Mary Ellen Withrow, another great friend of the station, and yes, even one for yours truly. So tell us a bit, Calvin, exactly how those are made, and how did you think about, why did you think about that as being a good gift for some of the, well, I guess somewhat important people at this radio station? And just tell us a little more about this lithophane and kind of your thoughts as you were not only deciding to produce these items, but also in the process of producing them.
So I thought that they would be a good gift because with the pictures that I chose to use to make them, it's quite literally a personalized gift for each recipient. So the way a lithophane is done on a 3D printer, to explain it simply, you'd take a 2D picture, you slice it in a software into what is basically that picture, but as a topographic map, so it's blown up three-dimensional and it has texture to it. Then you print it and you put hardly any infill into the lithophane, so it's basically hollow except for the outer shells, so that then when you shine a light against it, you can see the picture come through in 3D.
So it is another way to express someone's appearance in a memorable pose. And technology is fairly new. People make all kinds of devices with 3D printers. And what's cool about this is you shine it to the light and there's much, much more detail. So it's unique from a technological standpoint as well as a functional standpoint. Now, you're a hobbyist, Calvin, and we're going to delve into that a bit. You have all kinds of electronic gadgets, retro stereo equipment, and who knows what else. What other kind of things have you made with the 3D printer? Anything that's unique that you don't really see other people doing?
I wouldn't really say unique. A lot of the things that I make are things that people have asked me for that I can find ready-made designs for on websites like Thingiverse. But I have made a couple designs of my own, such as different like storage containers with a dial on top to lock it, almost like a safe. I've made change containers. I even, at one point, made a plastic intake manifold for one of my lawnmower engines because the original was discontinued, but I was able to get enough measurements off of it to kind of model it myself in the CAD software.
Adam here on The Talking Place, speaking with a longtime listener and show participant, both with The Interviewer to the Stars, Scott Spears, and lowly old me, Mr. Calvin Williams, a native of the Columbus area, but now hanging his hat in Lewiston in Western Idaho, talking about one of his toys. You know, as they say, Calvin, the only difference between men and boys is the size of their toys. And one of your toys is a 3D printer, which folks can do quite a bit with. Like other technology, have you noticed these 3D printers, have they become less expensive? Wouldn't it be nice if gas followed the same price pattern as computers and other pieces of technology? And if our listeners want to purchase a 3D printer, as they're certainly available in stores and through the mail, is there a particular model or brand you recommend? And how much should one budget for this device?
So to be perfectly honest, I can't give a perfect answer on that because all the printers that I have owned, I have bought used or refurbished.
But like a lot of technology, if it's refurbished, it's still generally pretty good because they make sure it's functioning properly and replace any parts that might need to be replaced. They're just a few hundred dollars, right, to start. It's not as expensive as it might sound.
No, they're not at all as expensive as most would probably think they are. And I will say, early 3D printers was definitely a lot of learning involved with getting them set up and going. But the printer that I have now, for example, it's a Ender 3 V2 Neo. And it has a very intuitive menu on it. Everything on it's pretty much self-explanatory. And they're pretty easy to get set up, even if you don't know anything going into it. It kind of walks you through the setup process and might have to make a couple adjustments at first, but this printer is self-adjusting. It automatically levels the print bed and the temperatures and everything. So it's really not a whole lot of mind power that goes into setting one up these days.
So it's not thousands and thousands of dollars. You remember when these tremendous TVs came out, they were four figures. Now you see $299 of a smart TV.
Yeah, I mean, TVs these days are practically disposable anyway. Like we have one of those TCL Roku TVs, and ours is about 4 years old and still works fine. But I know a friend of mine has gone through four of them in 2 years because they just quit working.
Do you ever ponder? Do you ever wonder? Do you ever question? Did my server serve me? Your computer will print. Should you call the president? What in the world are you gonna do? Call Adam, the computer guy. Call Adam, don't know the reason why. Do you find it a waste of time? Because you cannot hear it online. Call Adam, the computer guy. Or go online at thecomputerguy.com.
Adam here on The Talking Place, WGH Talk Radio, broadcasting via our website at WGH1071.com, and of course, tune in and other ways that folks can partake of our broadcasting experiences. Certainly this station, and especially my show, is definitely going to be an experience again for the ears, brain cells, and certainly also the funny bone. My guest today on the Adam Lepp Radio Extravaganza, mid-morning and afternoon, or whenever you feel like listening, coffee break or tea or other beverage break, is Mr. Calvin Williams from Idaho, a regular participant in this program, and the morning show with Mr. Scott E., no relation, thankfully, to Brittany Spears. So we talked about your 3D printer. I guess last but not least, The 3D printers don't use paper. You don't just go to Walmart and get a ream of paper. It uses this sort of plastic-like substance to do the printing. And what exactly is that called? Do you know, Calvin? And how does one purchase this substance? And roughly, what does it cost? Tell us more about that, because that's kind of that missing link that you don't hear about with these devices sometimes.
So 3D printers, at least the kind I have, use filament. And there's different types you can get, which are actually made out of common plastic. So the filament that I use most often, just because it's a bit cheaper, is PLA. And depending on what color you pick out, a roll of PLA will cost around $15 to $20 or so. But they're usually in 1 kilogram spools, and you can get dozens of prints out of one roll of filament, depending on how big the object is you're making or how much infill there is. I know office supply stores, a lot of them these days, carry filament. Like, I've gotten filament from Staples before, and I know for a fact Micro Center has a pretty extensive selection of filaments and even 3D and replacement parts.
So it's called filament, and it does come in different types, but it's not super expensive. For those who've seen the lithophane you made for me, for Scott, and for Mary Ellen, and of course, with all the millions of people who view our Facebook, I'm sure it has gotten a lot of exposure. It wouldn't be, it's not even a dollar's worth of filament, right, that was used to make these lithophanes. Would that be correct? Because they aren't that big. They're maybe the size of like a light switch, the panel, you know, the panel thing you put over the light switch, the switch plate, that's what it's called. So the actual cost for the substance itself would be under a dollar then for the lithophanes that you made?
If that. So the lithophanes, I think each one took roughly 12 feet of filament to make, and I think each one wasn't even an hour-long print. Maybe, I think yours, for example, took about 40 minutes to do.
Okay, so it's not super expensive. That includes both the filament to produce these 3D gadgets and the printer itself. So it's an interesting hobby, and like a lot of technology, we're expecting the price to go down and the items to become more commonplace. Adam here on The Talking Place, WGH Radio, with Mr. Calvin Williams. And now we're going to switch gears a bit. You're a mechanical person, Calvin, always making modifications to your lawnmower and doing things at your job at the old paper mill. We'll talk about that more if there's time, but let's go ahead and switch gears and become a little more controversial. In the last program, Calvin, we talked about COVID. We pretty much agree 100% that the disease certainly existed, it still exists, and it will exist likely indefinitely. But the response and the suggestions by politicians in the medical establishment were completely off base. You've mentioned yourself.
Yeah, everything was.
Yeah, you're a diabetic, so your immune system doesn't function as well as someone who is not diabetic. And yet, like myself, you're a non-mask wearer. You've not received the vaccine. And the other issue would be the forced closures of businesses. Let me ask, do you think that it was necessary to close gyms, bars, restaurants, whereas leaving places like Walmart open? Do you think that was necessary, or should we have just gone ahead and continue with our lives as usual? And like with anything, it's America. And if you don't feel safe, don't want to go to an establishment, stay home. What are your opinions on that one?
So I don't think any of the closures of anything should have happened. I think that's just another one of the knee-jerk responses when they decided to blow everything way out of proportion.
Now, as I see it, as a small business owner, so this is a bit of a biased opinion, every business is essential. Now, granted, more people would go to the drugstore or go to the grocery store than a fur coat store or even necessarily go to a bar. But it is America, and we have a right to the American dream and to keep our businesses open. Again, if you don't feel safe going somewhere, don't think it's something that is a good idea, then you stay home. But Calvin, one thing I've brought up as hypocrisy is that tobacco and liquor stores were considered essential and they stayed open. That's even dedicated tobacco and liquor stores, not Kroger or places that sell those items as well as everything else. Yet, of course, gyms were considered to be non-essential. Does that make any sense to you, that something which is not healthy or at least doesn't really provide a lot of, I mean, some people think alcohol in moderate quantities is healthy, and I would agree with that. But tobacco certainly isn't healthy, and many people who do buy liquor have a problem with it, which is an unfortunate thing. But again, those stores were still open. They were considered essential, yet one of my favorite kind of businesses, a gym health club, was considered not essential or not safe for some reason and closed. Do you see any hypocrisy there? Again, we agree nothing should be closed. But do you see some ridiculous hypocrisy and an obvious indication that the whole thing is a big crock by forcing gyms to close, yet allowing tobacco and liquor to stay open? Any thoughts on that one?
So let me put it this way. A lot of the liquor stores and tobacco stores are run by the government, like the state liquor agency. So you have these government-run stores that are deemed essential, and then it's also the government that is deciding what's essential and what's not.
So you see, again, collusion, or out of lack of a better term, something very shady and shaky with the whole concept that the government does run the liquor stores. But again, you can buy liquor and tobacco at Kroger and Walmart, but I definitely see you're making a great point. Yet gyms are private businesses, and there are independent gyms. I'm a member of an independent gym as well as a chain, and they were forced to close. And where I come from, staying healthy is a good way to prevent disease, keep your body in good shape and look better, and it's also a good hobby. There really are no disadvantages of exercise. Plus, if it's a local small business, you're supporting the local economy, which, again, is a bit of a bonus. So that obviously shows, Calvin, that there was something really shaky going on. But
I can guarantee if there's like a...
But even with places like Kroger and Walmart selling alcohol and tobacco, other things which may not be considered to be healthy, I feel they should stay open anyway. And if you don't want to buy those products, don't buy them. But the fact that they were open and had no restrictions, yet healthy places like health clubs were forced to close. And even arguably, Calvin, a bar is a healthy place. If you go to karaoke or something else, you don't have to drink. You're socializing. You're meeting with friends, you're letting off some steam after work or some other activity, and you're dancing and doing other things that are good exercise. So many of these kind of businesses, to me, are healthy. And how is the government to say who is supposed to close? And I've talked with Lucas Wall on this station and through Facebook many times, good friend of mine, virtual friend of mine, but we've been talking quite a bit, and he's a fascinating individual. And his thoughts, which I certainly would find myself in complete agreement with, is that the forced closures, along with the masks and any other restrictions of social distancing, that is essentially practicing medicine without a license. Now, of course, it also includes doctors saying that these restrictions should be in place. But if we have the government pretending to be doctors and pretending to know exactly what the best things to do when there is a disease that is one we need to watch out for, that, in addition to being very uncool, is illegal. And to practice medicine, you have to be a licensed medical professional. And there are politics there, Calvin. You're right. The government running liquor stores and also being in charge of licenses to sell liquor, to sell tobacco, and making money off of that, versus what do they make off of a gym? Well, they might make taxes from products sold at the gym, and also it does help the economy in general. But the government has a definite interest in these businesses that were allowed to stay open, regardless of whether or not they would be considered essential. I guess that's pretty much the bottom line. On the vaccine, Calvin, we're both going to fully admit we are unvaccinated. Now, I believe in vaccines in general. The polio vaccine, et cetera, those I believe should be required to go to school or another applicable situation. Do you agree with me on that, that these vaccines, again, like polio, for example, are very different from this COVID vaccine? It's a different type of vaccine. They're not mRNA vaccines, but that they do work and they are essential. And the small risk you might take is well trumped. Here's a good word for you, but that's the best word, is trumped by the benefits they can provide. What are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, so a lot of these non-mRNA vaccines that have been out there, for lack of better terms, to prevent easily preventable diseases that were eradicated back before our time, those ones should be mandatory.
So if we're comparing the polio vaccine, and you've seen the memes, Facebook, and Calvin, your name is Calvin, it isn't Facebook. You've seen the Facebook memes and other illustrations that show polio is all but eradicated, as are other diseases, and that because we've had vaccines. So why don't we do the same thing with COVID? Well, the reason is that the COVID vaccine has dangers, which, in my opinion, far outweigh any potential benefits. And COVID, again, in my opinion, being like the cold or flu, I don't have the flu vaccine either. Now, it is a different type of vaccine. It gives you the virus, from my understanding, and then that your body fights it off. But I know my own body. I have a science background, and I don't think it's necessary. And maybe I'll find myself being wrong, but I've lived quite a bit with these vaccines being available, and I've made a decision that I'm actually quite proud of. And the COVID decision also, it is a new type of vaccine. And I'm concerned also, Calvin, in your age group, this seems to be where a lot of the dangers might occur. There's been a lot of talk about the athletes who have suddenly had heart or other medical problems, which were not expected. Someone in his or her 20s, in great shape, being a football player, for example, would suddenly develop an issue like this. And of course, we're doing an A equals B, B equals C, so A equals C, and that might work in math, but it can be a fallacy in real life. My opinion, Calvin, is that there's strong evidence that taking the vaccine, I guess getting the vaccine and getting boosters is a contributory factor to these medical issues. And whether it's the entire reason, I don't know, but it does look awfully suspicious.
I mean, Calvin, you've read about
the athletes and others who have developed these kind of mysterious health problems, often with the heart. Do you think there is, again, not overwhelming evidence, but do you think at least, like I do, that there is a big contribution to this, to these problems from the vaccine, or is that just all fallacious? So, I mean, what are your thoughts? What were your thoughts when you might have heard about a person in your age group getting these medical problems that seem to come out of nowhere?
So I'm sure with online posts relating to the vaccine, you're familiar with the hashtag died suddenly.
Yes, I unfortunately am. Yes.
There, even if there's not a whole lot of evidence to directly prove that the vaccine caused that to happen, there is such an overwhelming number of cases of it happening that there's no way to deny it being either the direct cause or at the very least a contributing factor that might have piled on top of some other unknown pre-existing condition that the person had.
So you're seeing pretty strong circumstantial evidence. I guess you never know for sure, and the medical establishment and politicians aren't likely to admit it, at least the politicians who are from the vaccine camp. And that's certainly not been a good thing. We like to think, again, we're on the same side here. But the evidence to me...
Yeah, we are, as far as I'm concerned.
The evidence really to me is just too strong. at your job, Calvin, because you're in a union, is there an incentive for people to get the vaccine, or is it, because that is common here in Ohio, as you know, is the attitude a little bit different? Did that kind of influence your decision at all?
So there's not an incentive anymore, but at the time that I got hired on, January of 22, when you're filling out the new hire paperwork, there was this box you could tick that says, like, yes, I'm vaccinated, no, I'm not vaccinated. If you clicked yes, then on your first paycheck, they would give you an extra $250, but you had to show your vaccine certificate card.
So you did not get that bonus, obviously, but kind of feel like I do, that even if it was $10,000, it just wouldn't be worth it. You only get one body, you only get one life, and it wasn't really a risk worth taking. Was that pretty much what you were thinking?
Yeah, pretty much exactly.
As far as you know, are most of your coworkers vaccinated, and they would have received that bonus?
I don't think a whole lot of people are, even management positions. I mean, a lot of us at the mill are very conservative. Some of us you would think are right-wing extremists, but a lot of people also don't believe that COVID was as extreme as it was made out to be. And I know a lot of people did not get the vaccine.
Yeah, so a little different here, as I would say it more is a little bit more to the right there.
Even,
you would even say Lewiston is to the right of Marion. Marion is known for being more Republican, but you would put Lewiston even more conservative than Marion.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So it's certainly compared to Columbus or Cleveland or Dayton, a definite difference in the political climate. See, as I see it, I still consider myself more of a liberal, but an old school type liberal. Not a woke liberal. We may talk about that stuff, or at least
right.
touch on it later in the program. And I think you're fairly middle of the road. It's just all kind of relative. And it's a shame that this has to be considered a Republican or a right-wing issue. I don't believe in political parties, you know, saying Republican, Democrat. I'm just an independent. Now, I do lean heavily libertarian, which means I think we should make up our own decisions, just do it responsibly. But it's really a shame that it's become Democrat versus Republican. It's like, well, this is such an important issue that I'm a Republican because I'm not in favor of the vaccine for myself or making it required. And this idea of giving people an incentive to get it seems like a waste of resources, you know, let alone the masks and the closures. But
there's no incentive to get the flu vaccine or the polio vaccine or any of the other ones. So why are they trying so hard to push this one? And why are they offering a monetary reward in exchange for getting it? It's all fishy.
Yeah, and you are seeing the government having a hand in this with liquor licenses, tobacco licenses, yet what are their benefits from gyms, other than taxes, property taxes, etc.? Big benefit when it comes to selling things like liquor and tobacco, which, as far as the COVID shutdowns are concerned, were considered to be essential, which doesn't sound too cool as far as I'm concerned. But again, we agree nothing should have been shut down, be it something that really is essential, like your pharmacy, like grocery stores, be it a 7-Eleven or be it a Kroger or Walmart, or something that most people wouldn't shop at, again, fur coat store, etc. It doesn't matter. These are all businesses, and if you don't like what they sell, take your money elsewhere. And
correct.
That's pretty much the best way to say it. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place with Mr. Calvin Williams, who is a frequent listener and participant in the Scott Spears morning program, but we have borrowed him probably indefinitely for this show, as we do have some great conversations. Calvin, let's go into another controversial topic, and we'll probably run out of time because this is a big one that I really am very passionate about. But it's okay. We have time for our next program with about 5 minutes left in this particular episode, and that would be the transgender issues and the woke society in general. Now, Calvin, as you know, there are people that identify as female, although biologically they're male. That is, they have X and Y chromosomes, or in some cases, XXY or XYY. But bottom line is they are biologically male. Let our listeners fill in the blanks as to what that means. Yet, they identify as females, girls or women, and have played sports with biological females as females. Now, you and I agree, Calvin, there are differences between men and women. There are plenty of women who could certainly beat me in contents of strength or other athletic abilities. However, all other things being equal, men are stronger than women, and they're also taller and just built differently. I think that's biology 101. You don't need a PhD in anatomy to figure that one out. What is your opinion, Calvin? Again, you know my opinion, and I think I do know your opinion, but you can certainly shed some light on it. What is your opinion about biological males identifying as females but playing competitive sports as female? And any thoughts you can give us from your insightful brain?
So I think the main reason for somebody doing that, especially with competitive sports, is to get an advantage because they weren't scoring good enough as a biological male. I mean, a perfect example would be the swimmer Leah Thomas. So when Leah Thomas was still identified as a male, I believe he scored like 564th place or something like that in male swimming. Then he goes transgender and now is suddenly the national champion of women's swimming and was nominated for the NCAA Woman of the Year. All a scam to get that advantage, get ahead.
So a bit suspicious. Now, I think we would agree that there are people who feel they were born in the wrong body, that they are biologically different from the way that they feel and express themselves. But I agree, in the case of Leah Thomas, I'm not an expert on this. I've not followed every tidbit, but it's very, very fishy, a bit like the government and the liquors and tobacco stores. I don't believe that William Thomas really identifies as a female. William Thomas is cheating. And our woke society is allowing it. Now, there are cases where somebody does legitimately feel that he or she is in the wrong body, expresses him or herself differently. But I think anybody with logic, and I think that Bruce Jenner, now known as Caitlyn Jenner, would be a good example, understands that there are differences between men and women. It's not just strength and height. We're a gendered species. That's how Homo sapiens is. That's basic biology. And my background is chemistry and computers. It isn't anatomy, but I certainly know more. Certainly know quite a bit, I think, and I can speak as a quasi authority at least. But anybody that understands this, and Caitlyn Jenner being an example, realizes that if you are biologically male, doesn't matter how many hormones you're taking or operations, you have no business playing sports as a female. And let me almost close out our show, Calvin, and ask you if you agree with this. Depending upon the sport, now swimming is not really a contact sport, but wrestling is, and volleyball. There was a case where a biological male opponent spiked the ball and a female on the other team was injured with permanent injuries. My opinion, Calvin, that's committing assault, that if a male-to-female plays a contact sport, again, not swimming, not track, but wrestling, soccer, volleyball, even basketball being examples, that person's coach, anyone involved is committing assault and should be charged with a serious offense. So as we get ready to close out the show, I made a controversial statement. What do you think about that? Is that too extreme, or is that pretty much the way that it is?
That's pretty much the way that it is. And one thing that I've always said, half jokingly, but also half serious at the same time. So Leah Thomas being crowned the NCAA Woman of the Year, and then Caitlyn Jenner being crowned Woman of the Year by Glamour magazine a couple years ago, that pretty much just says that men are better at everything, including being a woman. That I feel that's the statement, that's the belief that they are trying to push at this point.
Right. Now, Caitlyn, as I mentioned, is known to be more to the right than we might expect someone who is transgender and understands that there are these differences. But the idea of right. being named Woman of the Year, no, that should be for biological women only. And on that note, we will close out the program. And thank you, Calvin, for delving into controversial topics, which, of course, we will continue on the next program. Let's go ahead and keep people in suspense. That's all part of the fun. Talking about your job, about your 3D printer, and life as a transplanted Buckeye into the great state of Idaho. Adam here on The Talking Place. Be sure to send me an email, question, comment, suggestion, complaint, or just to say, hi, Adam, how are you doing? Adam at WWGH1071.com. Adam Left.